नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 3 तत् तन्मञ्जुघोषाली मृगद्विजाकुलम् महन्मनः प्रख्यपयः सरस्वता वातेन जुष्टं शतपत्रगन्धिना निरीक्षरन्तुं भगवान् मनो दधे तन् Translation and purport by the servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead looked over that forest which resounded with the charming sounds of bees, animals and birds, and which was enhanced by a lake whose clear water resembled the minds of great souls, and by a breeze carrying the fragrance of 100-petaled lotuses. Seeing all this, Lord Krishna decided to enjoy the auspicious atmosphere. Purport: Lord Krishna saw that the Vrindavan forest was giving pleasure to all the five senses. The bees, birds, and animals made charming sounds that brought sweet pleasure to the ears. The wind was faithfully rendering service to the Lord by blowing throughout the forest, carrying the cool moisture of a transparent lake and thus giving pleasure to the sense of touch. By the sweetness of the wind, even the sense of taste was being stimulated, and the fragrance of lotus flowers was bringing pleasure to the nostrils. And the entire forest was endowed with heavenly beauty, which was giving spiritual bliss to the eyes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has thus explained the significance of this verse. Krishna. So, I would like to pray for the blessings and the mercy of all the assembled Vaishnavas here, so that I may be able to speak something about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam for my own purification. So, I was just told yesterday by Shadbhuj Prabhu if I could give you a class on this verse. So, I don't know how much I'll be able to speak. Whatever I have prepared, I'll just present. So, while reading this particular purport by Srila Prabhupada, one very interesting point struck me. Srila Prabhupada is actually quoting from the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And from this verse, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how the abode of Vrindavan, the transcendental abode of Vrindavan, every sense, the abode of Vrindavan, in Vrindavan, every sense, the sense of sight, the sense of touch, the sense of smelling, the sense of taste, every sense, sense of hearing, all senses are fully satisfied. So I was just contemplating, and some points came to my mind. So if we see this particular verse here, so something struck me, because actually in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it begins by introducing this concept. What is that? Urdhvamulam adhashakham ashvattam prahuravyam. So in that purport, Prabhupada explains that actually this material world that we see is like a reflection of the spiritual world. So there is something in the spiritual world. So you will have in a perverted way, in a reflected, inverted way, in the material world we have those things. So therefore, I was wondering, how can I connect? So I was thinking, in this material we see, in the material world, we see that there is so much of marketing going on. so much of marketing. And basically, marketing is a highly specialized subject, especially into psychology. People go into psychology and try to study the psychology of the customers when they are buying something. The psychology of how the consumers think, how they feel, what is their reasoning, and how they select between different alternatives in terms of different brands which are, you know, available, different products, different retailers, how they choose different retailers. Then psychology of how the consumer is influenced by the environment, the culture, the family background, the billboards, the media that he sees. Then the behavior of the consumers while shopping, you know, in the mall, how they behave. So all these things are very deeply studied when a particular company decides to market a particular product. All this is deeply studied. So, one official definition of marketing, or what they call as consumer behavior, what they study consumer behavior is, study of individuals, groups or organizations, and the processes that they use to select, secure, use and dispose of products, services. Please note, it's not only products but also services, experiences or ideas to satisfy the needs and impacts that these processes have on the consumer and society. A lot of jargon words are used. But basically, I want to underline that when consumer behavior is being studied, it is not only for certain products which we buy off the shelf, but also for certain services that are offered, certain experiences that a person gets, or ideas. So these things are studied. And in a very obvious way, we see, you know, many times we hear that we see big hoardings. Especially near our temple, there is a very famous tour company, Raj Travels. Many tour companies are there. We see their big billboards. Visit scenic South Africa, scenic Switzerland, or visit amazing USA, or visit fantastic Kenya, wild safari in Kenya. So they are just promoting. This is marketing. They will never tell us about the ethnic strife going on in Kenya, so many people getting killed because of the fighting between northern Kenya and southern Kenya. They will not tell that. They will not tell about, on billboards, about kids going into schools and shooting their friends in USA. It will be always amazing, amazing USA. It will be always fantastic wild safari in Kenya. So in spite of so many blemishes, what is always projected is the positive aspect. So we should understand, when Krishna tells about the purpose of his advent in this material world, why does Krishna come to this material world? He is happy in Golok Vrindavan. Krishna is very happy in Golok Vrindavan. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavita abhi stabhirya eva nija roopa taya kalabhi Golok eva nivasati akhilatma bhuto. He is always resident in his Golok dham and is completely happy and satisfied there. You don't need to come here. But why does he come here? He makes it very clear in Bhagavad Gita. Why does Lord Krishna come to this material world? He doesn't need to come. But he comes specifically for two purposes. That is, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. And of these two purposes also, according to Krishna himself, the higher priority purpose is paritranaya sadhunam. Vinashaya cha duskritam can be carried out by his multifarious energies. As he himself says in Bhagavad Gita again, Kalosmi, I am time, the destroyer of all that is there. So, to take care of Duskrita, to take care of Vinashaya cha Duskritam, that will take care anyway. That will be taken care anyway by the multifarious energies of Krishna. But the higher priority task for which Krishna comes personally to this material world is Paritranaya Sadhuna. That is the main purpose behind Lord Krishna's advent and his descent to this material world from Golok Vrindavan.
So what is the purpose? So these ideas of consumer behavior, studying consumer behavior, marketing, advertising, all these things, again, they are not unique, or they are not something which modern man has found out, which was never known in history. Sorry, they have missed the bus. It is not something very unique in history that nobody knew about these things. No. Krishna has already been there, done that, everything. Everything is there in Krishna's words, in Krishna's activities. And when Krishna says that paritranaya sadhunam, and that is the most important task for which I descend to this material world, when he says that, so he backs it up with action. And when he comes here, he performs such wonderful, such amazing activities which attracts the attention of the conditioned living entities and attracts their attention away from the lower taste of material enjoyment. So in Bhagavad Gita, we see Krishna introduces, you know, we as practicing Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we say that, you know, Bhagavad Gita is like, you know, like the school, you know, kindergarten to 10th standard we study school, basic English, you know, how to prepare structure of sentences. And then graduate studies of devotional service is Srimad Bhagavatam. And postgraduate study is Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in the beginning stage itself, Krishna introduces this concept of how you please come back to my eternal abode. And once you come back there, you will never come back here. And in the second chapter itself, we see in the 51st verse, Krishna says, Karmajam buddhi yukta hi phalam tyaktva manishinaha janma bandha vinirmukta padam gacchanti anamayam. He says, by thus engaging in devotional service to the Lord, great sages or devotees free themselves from the results of work in the material world. In this way, they become free from the cycle of birth and death and attain the state beyond all miseries. So the first time Krishna brings up this beyond all miseries, because in the material world, every conditioned living entity, you know, janmana jayate shudra, so the classic symptom of a shudra is lamentation. So everybody in this material world is by birth a shudra. And everybody is subjected to this experience of continuously lamenting. So lamenting for various things, various miseries which are inflicted upon the living entity in this material world. Three kinds of miseries that we know of. So Krishna is saying, at the here itself, padam gacchanti anamayam. If you perform devotional service to the Lord, you will go to that place where there are no miseries. It is free of miseries. First, you know, billboard. Place free of miseries. This is a place which is free of miseries. You can go there. Then we see further in Bhagavad Gita, the first verse of 9th chapter, Krishna says, there may be many more verses. These are some random I picked up. There are many more verses than these. Just random sums I picked up. Idam tu te guhyatamam pravakshyami anusuyave jnanam vijnana saitam yad jyatva mokshase ashubhat. So Supreme Personality of God says, my dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. Again, you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. You know, again Krishna is bringing up this point. You shall be relieved from miseries. Padam gacchanti anamayam. Yad gyatva mokshase shubhat, ashubhat. Then again in 14th chapter, Lord Krishna says, the first and second verse, again I shall declare to you the supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained the supreme perfection. And then he says, idam jnanam upasritya mama sadharmyam agata sargepi nopajayante pralayena vathanti cha. By becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature like my own. Thus established, one is not born at the time of creation or disturbed at the time of dissolution. And the classic verse, which is like, you know, the crowning glory for all these billboards that Krishna is putting in different and in the way, different verses. The classic crowning glory is natad bhashayate suryo na shashanko na pavaka yad gatva na nivartente mam tad dhama paramam mama. Excuse me. So Krishna says that supreme abode of mine is not illumined by the sun or the moon, nor by fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to this material world. So in the purport to this particular verse, Natad Bhashayate Suryo, Prabhupada makes really fantastic points. Prabhupada says that, you know, as long as a living entity is in this dark material world, he is in the conditioned life. But as soon as he reaches the spiritual sky, by cutting through the false perverted tree of this material world, he becomes liberated. Then there is no chance of his coming back here. In his conditioned life, the living entity considers himself to be the lord of this material world. But in his liberated state, he enters into the spiritual kingdom and becomes an associate of the Supreme Lord. There he enjoys eternal bliss, eternal life, and full knowledge. And now, Prabhupada, like, you know, some of his clinchers, very, you know, lines which actually they inspire us like anything. He says, one should be captivated by this information about the spiritual world. And by becoming captivated, what should be the individual's desire? He should desire to transfer himself to that eternal world and extricate himself from this false reflection of reality. So what is all this publicity that we see about, you know, scenic Africa and Switzerland and amazing America? What is all this? These are just creating desires within the heart of the living entity to try and somehow enjoy in this material world. But all this enjoyment is what? Like Prabhupada here hits it very perfectly. All this enjoyment is what? What is the difference between kama and prem in Chaitanya Charitamrita? Atmendriya prithi vancha tarbale kam. Krishnendriya priti vancha taradhare prem, prem naam. So if our desire is to please or gratify our own senses, then that is lust, that is kaam. But if the desire is to fulfill if the desire is to give pleasure to Krishna, to the senses of Krishna, then that is love. And here Prabhupada makes in this particular purport very pertinent point. He says, in this conditioned life, the living entity considers himself to be the lord of this material world. And because of this, when a particular person sees, you know, on a big billboard, he's seeing, oh, nice Alps, Swiss Alps, you know, or maybe some African safari, then he sees, oh, maybe I will go there, I will enjoy like this, I will enjoy like that, you know, this will be so fantastic experience. But the whole thing is centered about him, about his enjoyment, about gratification of his own senses. But here Prabhupada says that this is why, because he considers himself to be the lord of all that he surveys. But in the liberated state, the total reverse takes place. In the liberated state, it is all about pleasure to Krishna, pleasure to senses of Krishna. So here we see in this particular verse also the different, you know, the Lord Krishna saw that the Vrindavan forest was giving pleasure to all the five senses. The bees, birds and animals made charming sounds that brought sweet pleasure to the ears. The wind was faithfully rendering service to the Lord by blowing throughout the forest, carrying the cool moisture of a transparent lake and thus giving pleasure to the sense of touch. So again, air coolers, not a new concept. Air cooler is already here in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam already happens in Golok Vrindavan. what people use in Vrindavan, you know, they have so much. First of all, that air cooler, it may make the air cool, but it creates so much noise that people prefer to shut it off. You know, it's so noisy during summer. That heavy motor and that fan has to blow at such high speed. But it's not a new concept. So I don't know why people, modern man is thinking that he knows everything. It's nothing modern. Air coolers are already there. And very natural. You don't need heavy machinery which makes a lot of noise for that cooling effect. Then by the sweetness of the wind, even the sense of taste was being stimulated. And the fragrance of lotus flowers was bringing pleasure to the nostrils. And the entire forest was endowed with heavenly beauty, which was giving spiritual bliss to the eyes. So all these senses of Krishna were being given pleasure by the various denizens. And we have to understand one thing, that in this particular spiritual world, every entity, not only living or, you know, every moving or non-moving, the whole idea is, in the spiritual world, every entity is solely focused upon giving pleasure to Krishna, whether it is moving or non-moving, whether it is apparently according to our vision, according to our understanding, living or non-living. Even stones in Vrindavan, they are thinking, even the fine raj, the dust in Vrindavan is thinking, how we can serve Krishna. When will Krishna put his lotus feet upon me? So apparently every entity is conscious, and their consciousness is solely focused upon one thing, and that is giving pleasure to Krishna's senses. How we can do that? So therefore, even among these different things, there is one nice description which comes in the third canto, where it is described, and because the center of that attention or center of that desire to serve is Krishna, not that, oh, I will serve better, so I'll also gain prominence. No, because the desire is that whatever I am doing is for Krishna's pleasure. Because that mood is there, so therefore this is so nicely exemplified. The mood is not that somehow, you know, I should get some reflected prominence. No, the whole idea is just to serve Krishna. How may I serve Krishna? So, in the third canto, very nice description comes of the Vaikuntha planets, where it is described, when the king of the bees hums in a high pitch, you know, now bees humming is not, I mean, first of all, when bees start humming around us, it's not something which makes us very comfortable, because we are afraid when it might sting us, you know, we are afraid of whether it might sting us. Why is it humming around me? It is not a very, it's a high-pitched sound, which is not very melodious to the eyes, to the ears. But still, and compared, what to speak of, compared to the sound of the cuckoo, koel, or the chakravak, the swan, the parrot, their sounds are much more better, much more sweeter. But still, it is described that when the king of the bees hums in a high pitch, but what is he humming? Singing the glories of the Lord. When the king of the bees hums in a high pitch, singing the glories of the Lord, there is a temporary lull in the noise of the pigeon, the cuckoo, the crane, the chakravak, the swan, the parrot, the partridge, and the peacock. See, all other birds which are mentioned, their sounds are quite melodious. But all of them fall silent. Why? Because such transcendental birds stop their singing simply to hear the glories of the Lord. So even though on an oral level, on the level of just hearing, the humming of the bee may not be very, very melodious to the ears, but the priority is given to Krishna's pleasure and glorification of Krishna. And then immediately next verse says, although flowering plants, there are many plants which are flower laden, and those are described like the mandara, the kunda, kurabaka, utpala, champaka, arana, punnaga, nagakeshar, bakula, lily, and parijat. You know, I'm sure not many of us are aware of all these flowers. Maybe Nityanand Charan Prabhu will be having most information. But still, many of these flowers we may have heard, we hear the name, but I'm sure, maybe, but I'm sure Parijat, most of us have seen and, you know, we have smelt it. And it's so beautiful, heavenly smell. Actually, Parijat flower is from the heavenly kingdom, which Krishna brought down to this earth. So it's such a heavenly smell. But what happens that although they are full of transcendental fragrance, they are still conscious of the austerities performed by Tulasi. For Tulasi is given special preference by the Lord, who garlands himself with tulsi leaves. So when all these flowers, they are conscious of the austerities performed by Tulsi. So this is the mood in the spiritual world. The mood in the spiritual world is of Krishna in center, serving Krishna. Not that, let me try, you know, it's not a race. Who comes out first in the race to serve Krishna? Everybody wants to come first, and everybody comes first also. We have seen in the previous chapters, like the gopas, they are running. Who comes Krishna? Who will touch Krishna first? Who will touch Krishna first? And everybody has this experience that I touch Krishna first. So that is the special position of Krishna, that he can reciprocate equally with every one of his devotee. And every one of his devotees will feel equally satisfied. So, we have to understand that this whole atmosphere of Vrindavan that has been described in today's verse, this is like a, you know, a publicity billboard or a hill or a hoarding or a, you know, a big advertisement in the electronic media. And why is this? Because as in Bhagavatam, again it is described that even though we may have big billboards, and many more billboards than, you know, these many more public billboards about describing about so many nice places that can be visited, so many nice entertainment, so many nice various things which will give pleasure to various senses of our own, for our own pleasure, various activities which are being conducted. But what is the mood of the devotees? It is said in the first canto, those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe. Only the Lord, Krishna, he has the ability to sanctify or purify the atmosphere of this whole universe. And those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord are considered by saintly persons to be like a place of pilgrimage for crows. That means to be like a place of garbage dump. They may be described in so many nice ways, so many nice pictures, big hoardings, you know, showing nice beaches, wild animals which we can see, huge mountains, everything is there, nice climate, clean air, everything is there. But since all perfect persons are inhabitants of the transcendental abode, they do not derive any pleasure there, in a place where it is describing so many things, but Krishna is not present. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes, etc. of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. And such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So, this Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all these verses, all these books, Srila Prabhupada has given us. For what? You know, basically, Srila Prabhupada has received this mandate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission? Especially to all of us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is, Bharata Bhumite Haila Janma Jar, Janma Sarthak Kari, Kara Paropkar. First, we should take this knowledge, and after purifying ourselves, we should also distribute this. So in the last month we had this Srila Prabhupada's marathon, book marathon. And we shall see devotees who have already been deities who have already been to Kumbh Mela, they have seen that there are so many varieties of people out there. So many varieties of people. But it is because of Srila Prabhupada's clear words which he gives in his books that we can understand that how this is what is the ultimate truth. And we are directed towards the ultimate focus. If you go to Kumbh Mela, we will see so many people following so many practices. They have their own inspirations. All glories to them. I am not denigrating someone, but they have their own inspirations. But we feel more fortunate and more blessed that somehow we came in contact with Srila Prabhupada's mission and Srila Prabhupada's books, where the method of getting free from this material world and for going back to that place which is free of all miseries is so clearly explained, so simply given that even a child can take part in it, as Prabhupada would say. It's so simple that even a child can take part in it. Prabhupada would say this often and point to the daughter of His Grace Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Saraswati, and say, she is also taking part in Krishna consciousness. She is also performing devotional service, small child, especially during the Cross Maidan festival. So therefore, it is, and Prabhupada made it very clear in his seven purposes of ISKCON, that this is the purpose of ISKCON. What is that? To propagate a consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That means it has to be vigorously marketed. So if somebody feels that, oh, how can I go out and market, give these books? No, that is how we do that. Why can't we do that? If the outside world engages in such vigorous marketing and such vigorous, publicity campaigns, like somebody was just telling yesterday, in India, whenever a new razor company is introducing a new razor, they just go into some colleges and they conduct personality development seminars, and part of the personality development, they said that you have to also have good grooming, clean shaven and everything. And as part of that, they gave out free samples of the razor and one cartridge of the blade. Now that new brand of razor, for somebody to buy, is quite costly, but they gave it free. You know why? Because they knew that once they are hooked to using this new brand, then they will not go back. And they are like young boys in college, just sprouting facial hair. So at that point itself, if they develop the habit of using such latest, brands of razors and all, so later on they are hooked for life. And then even if the cartridge is going to cost like 400, 500 rupees for a pack of four cartridges, still they will buy it. So if such vigorous marketing ploys and publicity stunts can be employed for distributing and selling such cheap things as razor blades, then what is being offered by Krishna is something of much, much more infinite value. In fact, it is incomparable. We cannot compare the two. And we have to market that. So to propagate a consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that is one of the purposes of the seven purposes of ISKCON. Then to bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity. Thus to develop the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is a part and parcel of the quality of Godhead Krishna. So how will we do this? By distributing the knowledge that is there in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, by book distribution, not only book distribution, but also going out and speaking to the people about this. Then, very nice point, to erect for the members of the society and for society at large, a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. So, Prabhupada has Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, Panchatattva Radha Madhav temple in Mayapur, such beautiful places. And with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books and other writings. So with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purpose, to publish and distribute periodicals. So that's the whole idea of book distribution. And the Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita very clearly that Machitta Madgata Prana Bodhayanta Parasparam Kathayantascha Mam Nityam Tushyanti Cha Ramanti Cha. So the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So this kind of exchange among the devotees, and by gaining this, going out and by gaining inspiration here, going out and distributing this knowledge, that is such a great engagement that Krishna has given us. He has engaged us as his sales representatives. Go out and distribute this, market. And many devotees have so many ideas of marketing. It's not that there is very unique Prabhupada, like what, just what Prabhupada gave is the final. Newer and newer devotees, nowadays we are seeing coming out with so many newer ideas of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, distributing the knowledge in the books given by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, in his, he gave us so many different ways. And now, based on that, devotees are building and bringing out so many different ways of distributing this knowledge and acting as brand ambassadors to the kingdom of Lord Krishna, that is Golok Vrindavan. So in today's verse, it is so nicely described about how this universe gives pleasure to all the senses of Krishna. And we have to also understand that similarly, if any devotee, any person, any living entity from this material world gets transferred, then he is situated in that consciousness. So our job is to just focus on trying to preach and try to expound this knowledge as much as possible, so that we may also someday, in our turn, if possible, you know, as like sometimes some companies have for their high performing employees, you know, sometimes some employees, they perform very good, they reach all their targets. So for the employees, they have certain, you know, some trip to here or some trip to there. So Krishna, of course, Krishna is not a ungrateful master. And it is not our desire also, like many of our acharyas have prayed, that I am doing this because you will give this. But by being engaged in this consciousness, by being engaged in this consciousness, as Krishna says, that manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam eveshi satyam te pratijani priyosime. So Krishna says, by being engaged in this particular consciousness, that is manmana bhava mad bhakto, always keep thinking about me in your mind, I become my devotee, pay homage unto me. And by doing these activities, what will happen? Mam eveshi satyam te, you will come back to me without fail. Why? Pratijani priyosime, because you are my very dear friend. You are very dear to me. So if you become dear to Krishna, by pleasing Krishna, by performing such activities, we are all dear to Krishna, and that is why Krishna comes in the first place to perform all these activities, to attract us back to the Golok Dham. Otherwise, you would never have come that. Otherwise, you would never have said that paritranaya sadhuna. He comes to attract us because we are always, always dear. But if we exhibit more, if we go out of our way to exhibit that, you know, understand our relationship with Krishna and act on that understanding of relationship with Krishna, then the prayojan of going back home, back to Godhead, will be easily achieved. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So if anybody has any comments, corrections, questions, if they are simple. Not very tough ones. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.